This evening we continue our study on Christian prayer, and we do so by looking at Lord's Day 49. Lord's Day 49, you can find that on page 895 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. Tonight we'll be looking at the third request, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll read this question, and then we can respond together with the answer. What does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Our passage tonight is James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. As we get ready to turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, talking about the will of God can be confusing for Christians. What do we mean when we say the will of God? And part of the confusion is because the Bible talks about God's will in a variety of different ways. On the one hand, you have God working all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1 verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so God's will in that sense is his unchangeable decree that can't be overturned. What God's will, what he will in fact come to pass. We talk about this as his secret will. What God wills is going to happen. But on the other hand, we're called to pray that God's will be done. And the fact that Jesus tells us to pray for this indicates and shows that God's will in this sense is something that can be ignored or disobeyed by God's rebellious creatures. And so we can think of the two sides of God's will in this way. God's will of decree on the one hand and God's will of desire on the other. And so within the mystery of God's sovereignty and our responsibility, you have God as the one who oversees all of creation down to the fine minute details of hares and sparrows. But at the same time, you have God giving commands and us as his rebellious creatures disobeying them. The Lord's Prayer, as we look at it this evening, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Lord's Prayer is concerned with God's will of desire. Or sometimes that theological point is described as God's will of command or God's will of precept. It's the will of God that he makes known to us. You know, when we read the Ten Commandments, what is God's will for our life? And we look at the Ten Commandments and afterwards say, this is God's will for us as we strive to live our lives for him. That's God's revealed will, the will that he makes known to us. This is how I want you to live as my children kind of will. And that's what we are praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We want to follow God's will as faithfully as the angels in heaven who do God's biddings, the saints that live to sing his praises. In heaven you have this perfect holiness, this perfect obedience, this perfect worship, this perfect glory, and Jesus commands us in light of that to pray that God's will in fact be done on earth just like it's being done in heaven. And so praying this prayer, praying that God's will be done, means that we're also praying that God will help us reject our own will. That we would trust God's will and obey and live according to God's will. The theme of our message this evening is that we live out our faith in Jesus Christ by living according to his will. We live out our faith in Jesus Christ by living according to his will. And according to the Catechism, this request from the Lord's Prayer involves three things. And those three things will be our three points this evening. First of all, rejecting our own will. Secondly, trusting God's will. And then third and finally, carrying out God's will. And so first, rejecting our own wills. Help us and all people, the Catechism says, to renounce or reject our own wills without any backtalk. And so according to the Catechism, this request from the Lord's Prayer, first of all, involves us rejecting getting rid of our own will and our own desires. And you've got James calling us out on that. When we place our wills before God's will. Verse 13, "Come now, you who say." So here's someone who's making plans. This is my plan, my will, my way. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. And James counters that by saying, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It's a mist. It appears for a little time and then it's gone. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And so right from the very beginning, James is calling us out when we place our will before God's will. Because that's the temptation that we face. Kevin DeYoung writes this, "The longer I'm a pastor, the more I see that this is the real battle going on in the hearts of men and women and children. Many times people come to me with a pressing burden or struggle, and on several of those occasions, it quickly becomes clear this person or couple came to see their pastor in hopes that he would affirm them in doing what they were feeling was not right. It's as if they had already decided what they wanted to do and had a sense that it would be frowned upon by the church or even God's word, yet they were looking for some sort of permission or acceptance of their rationale. The struggle at the most basic heart level was whether to follow their will or God's. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. R.C. Sproul illustrates how confused we can be with our own feelings and our wishes and our prayers and our own wills. Here's what he writes. A woman once asked to speak with me concerning a problem in her marriage. She was greatly distressed as she related her story. She had been married to her husband for 40 years. For that entire period, she was a Christian and her husband was not. In between fits of weeping, the woman told me of all the difficulties the mixed marriage had produced. She said her husband was a good provider and that he was faithful, but they didn't share the same ultimate values. So they faced frequent conflict. She felt like she had carried the burden of the mixed marriage long enough. She had endured 40 years, had seen the children through college and married, and had had enough. Consequently, she went on, she had left her husband 2 weeks before our meeting. The immediate crisis she was facing was that her husband was phoning her every day and begging her tearfully to return home. She said, every day for the past 2 weeks, I have been praying desperately that God would show me his will. Please, Mr. Sproul, tell me what the will of God is. What can I do? R.C. Sproul says, I replied as gently as I could. The first thing you can do is stop praying about the will of God in this matter. God has already declared his will in this matter by forbidding us from departing from our unbelieving spouses. R.C. Sproul continues, he says, the woman's mood abruptly changed. She moved from a spirit of brokenness and desperation to a posture of unbridled fury. She hurled at me, how can you say that? You don't live with that man. You wouldn't be able to put up with a marriage partner like mine. How easy it is for you to stand there and tell me what the will of God is. She was very angry with me, R.C. notes. And then he admitted the truth, that, or at least the probable truth, that what she was saying, I told her it was possible that I would have bailed out of such an unpleasant situation even before she did. However, I reminded her that she was not asking me what I would do if I were in her situation, but what the will of God is in the matter. When I responded, she had said that it was easy for me to say what the will of God is. And that charge was half right. It was easy for me to know what the will of God is, since God's word is crystal clear on the matter. It was not easy for me to say what I did because I knew very well it was not what she wanted me to say. Sproul continues, he says, the woman finally calmed down. With a new sense of duty and determination, she returned to her husband. Fortunately, she stopped short of the fantasy that God had told her to leave him. She realized finally that her prayer for the will of God had been not so much a prayer that God would reveal his will to her, but that God would resend his will and grant her special exemption from her Christian duty. Your will be done. Not my will be done. Your will be done. Help us and all people reject our own wills. This is the difficult part of being a Christian. God gets to make the rules. And at times we don't like it. It takes faith to die to ourselves just like Christ did. Think about what Christ says in John 6 verse 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Here we have God's revealed will in his law and in his gospel, and Jesus is the one who is coming to fulfill perfectly God's will. And in doing that, he accomplishes perfect obedience and righteousness for us who place our faith in him. And that is the foundation and the motivation for our own obedience to God's will. For this prayer to, Lord, your will be done. Help me to reject my own will. Because I know that your will is good and perfect. And that I can trust it. We're not going to reject our own will unless we believe that God's will is better. Because sin is us convincing ourselves that our will is better. At times, each one of us will need to do things that go against what we want to do. Become like Christ. We are choosing God's will instead of our own. We are rejecting our own will, first of all. And secondly, we are trusting God's will. Trusting God's will. Help us and all people to renounce, reject our own will. And without any backtalk, to obey your will. For it alone is good. Praying the Lord's Prayer in this way takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Because when we pray, your will be done, we are confessing that our confidence is in God. That God knows best. That his plans are good. That his ways are always right. And if we're going to be faithful in our prayers, we have to learn to steadfastly love the will of God, just like David did and recorded in Psalm 119. We sang the first part of Psalm 119 this morning, this evening. It's an entire psalm devoted to the will of God. What does David say? Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. So he's convinced that God's will is better than his will. The unfolding of your words gives light and imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant. He's thirsty because he's longing for God's commandments. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed tears, streams of tears, because people don't keep your law. Now, it's easy when we hear David talking like this in Psalm 119 to just chalk it up to hyperbole or dramatic overstatement in Scripture or just exaggerated flowery language. Don't let these words just go in one ear and out the other. Don't let what David is saying just fly right over the top of your head. Pay attention to his language. He's longing for, he's thirsty for God's will, his commands, and he's pleading with God to know them because they are wonderful. They give light. They give understanding. David is crying. He is shedding tears, streams of tears, because there is so much disobedience in the land. Who's going to weep because of pointless divorces? Who's going to shed a tear because of all of the abortions in our land? Who's going to cry because of rebellious teens or selfish fathers or spiteful mothers? Because instead of responding with the cynical comments or the coarse jokes or the laughter or even the cowardly tolerance, we should be shedding streams of tears because of the sexual distortion that surrounds us, or the unquenchable greed, or the two-faced politicians, or the phony Christians, or even prideful pastors who don't keep the law of the Lord, who don't follow, who don't pray for the will of God. What is God's will? What is his will? First, we can think of God's will, as I mentioned, in terms of his secret will. On the other hand, it's his revealed will. So those are the two parts of God's will, his secret will and his revealed will. This distinction shows up in many scripture passages, but you can think of Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. And why do the things that are revealed by God belong to us and our children forever? That we may do all the words of this law. So when we're talking about God's secret law, we don't know God's plan, His secret will, the secret things that belong to the Lord. We sometimes talk about looking at the backside of the tapestry. God sees the full picture, but we just see the knots and the strings on the backside and don't have a clear perspective. This is the secret will of God. There's many parts of His plan and His will that we don't know, that He hasn't revealed to us. There's many details about future events, specific details of hardship or blessing in our lives and so forth. And when it comes to these matters, we're simply called to trust Him. Genesis 50, verse 20, the story of Joseph and his brothers selling him into slavery is a really good example of God's secret will. Because when it comes to Joseph and his brothers, what does Joseph say? He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So here we have a great example of God's secret will and His revealed will. What is God's revealed will? What was God's law for Joseph's brothers? Don't sell your brother into slavery. Don't murder your brother. Love your brother, which they all disobeyed. But now David is pointing out God's secret plan, His secret will behind all of that, saying, yeah, you intended it for evil, but God worked it out. He intended it for good, which resulted in saving Egypt and his entire family. So that's God's secret will. The things that God has revealed, His revealed will, is for the purpose of us obeying and doing the words of His law. Because God's revealed will usually contains commands or precepts or tells us how we should live our lives, God's revealed will is sometimes called God's will of precept or His will of command. It's God telling us how to live our lives for Him, what His will is for our lives. When Paul commands the Ephesians to understand what the Lord's will is. In Ephesians 5 verse 17, he says, "Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." He's talking about God's revealed will, because you can know that it's been revealed. God gives it to us. He again is speaking of God's revealed will in 1 John when he says, "If we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us." Now, as we bring it back to the Lord's Prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, when it comes to this petition, when it comes to this request, what we're praying is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that people would obey God's revealed will, obey God's commandments on earth, just as those commandments are being obeyed in heaven, which is fully and completely. This isn't a prayer regarding God's secret will or His decree of events that He's planned that would be fulfilled. Because if we were praying for God's secret will, "Hey, Lord, let Your secret will be done," basically what we're praying is, "Yeah, Lord, let whatever's going to happen, happen." Which isn't really us praying anything, is it? It would be redundant and meaningless. Because we don't know what God's secret will is regarding the future. And so the person praying a prayer for God's secret will to be done would never know what he or she is praying for. The Lord's Prayer specifically is about God's revealed will, that God's will would be followed on earth. And in that way, it provides a pattern for us to pray on the basis of God's commands in Scripture. I mean, if you look back in the Catechism, back to the Ten Commandments section that we worked through, every commandment, what is God's will for us in the first commandment? What is God's will for us in the second commandment? What is God's will for us in the third commandment? And so forth, because that is God's revealed will. So now as we are praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're tapping into each one of the Ten Commandments, which have explained and expressed what God's will is. We're encouraged by Jesus to pray that people would obey God's law and that they would follow His principles for life and that they would obey His commandments and repent of their sin and turn to Christ as their Lord and Savior. To pray these things is to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us and all people to reject our own wills without any backtalk and to obey Your will, for it alone is good. And help everyone carry out his or her office and calling as willingly and as faithfully as the angels in heaven. A little bit later in Matthew, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 5, and then a little bit later, Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Once again, it's not referring to God's secret will that we don't know of, it's God's revealed will, which He has made known to us. His moral law, His will, His commands that we are called to obey. In Matthew 12, verse 50, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Getting back to James here, James encourages us to see all of the events of our lives as subject to God's will. To those who say today or tomorrow we will, James replies, you don't even know about tomorrow. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills. And so we're first of all rejecting our own will. Secondly, we're trusting God's will. And then third and finally, as we conclude this evening, we are carrying out God's will. Help everyone to carry out his office and calling as willingly and as faithfully as the angels of heaven. It doesn't do us any good, nor anyone else, if we talk about loving God's will and longing for it to be accomplished, but we never carry it out ourselves. Here especially is where we need to rely on prayer, because our old sinful nature is not going to want to follow God's will, and two, it's not able to carry out God's will on its own. If the Lord wills, James says. If the Lord wills. Now, our passage here, and we've looked at it before, it's often taken as an acknowledgement of our dependency on God's secret will. So when James says, instead you should say, if the Lord wills, many will interpret that as saying, well, that's referring to God's secret will. If God has foreordained it, we will live and do this or that. If God has predestined it, if it is the Lord's will. And so it's us recognizing our dependency on God, recognizing that we can't do anything unless God intends for it to happen. But is that what James means here? What does James mean when he says, if the Lord wills? Is he talking about the secret will of God? Or is he talking about the revealed will of God? I mean, if we were to have a pop quiz right here and right now, and you had option A, secret will, option B, the revealed will, what would it be? Secret will, God's providential upholding of all things, His unchangeable plan, or God's revealed will, His law, how He wants us to live our lives? Now, if you went with A, secret will, that's a very popular option. The secret will make sense, right? You're talking about your future. You're talking about what lights ahead. You don't even know what tomorrow will hold. Secret will of God. You need to just trust Him. And at first, that's what James seems to be talking about. We don't providentially know how God is going to lead. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And I'll even admit that on a surface level, many who comment or preach on this passage, they leave you with that impression. In this way, James would be talking about God's secret will, the will that we do not know. But if he's talking about God's secret will, then our response is not necessarily doing anything rather than passively accepting whatever God sends. And that's kind of like what James says at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of many kinds. This is God's will, His secret will, providential. You just need to be patient when you go through difficult times. And if that's the case, if James here is talking about the secret will of God, then I've chosen the wrong passage for the Lord's Prayer, and we're just going to have to start over. But thankfully, when we dive a little bit deeper, and if we think about the letter of James as a whole, James, through and through, is talking about us obeying God's will. Show me your faith without works, and I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. How I obey, live out God's law, God's will. Help me to obey your will without any back talk, as willingly and as faithfully as the angels in heaven. Most of the time, James is interested in God's revealed will, His ethical will, His moral will. This is how you live as my children will. I'll show you my faith by what I do in obedience to God's will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at the context that this passage, verse 16, happens in. Look at verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And so the phrase here in James, if the Lord wills, we will live and do, is best understood not as a prediction of the future, but as a way of saying we will live in accordance with God's righteous and revealed will. We will live in conformity to His will. We will do this or we will do that in light of God's desire for our lives. At the very least, it's an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty in life and implies that we need to consciously seek to know God's will, His ethical, moral will, how He wants us to live when we're making those plans. Lord, as I make these plans, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me to reject my own will and to obey Your will without any back talk, because Lord, Your will alone is good. And in this way, James is indicating that we need to be conscious and sensitive to God's revealed will for our lives. His will that He makes known to us in His Word. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Whoever knows the right thing to do, the revealed will of God, His law, and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Whoever fails to carry out the work that we are called to as willingly and as faithfully as the angels in heaven, for him that is sin. And this submission to the Lord's will, submission to Christ's instruction, is essential for faith. Because faith without works, obedience to God's revealed will, is dead. We live out our faith in Jesus Christ by living according to God's will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey Your will without any back talk. Because Your will alone is good. Help us, one and all, to carry out the work that You have called us to as willingly and as faithfully as the angels in heaven. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that this is a scary thing to pray. We're asking that You will help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey You, to obey Your will, knowing that it is better than ours, without any back talk, because Your will alone is good. Father, we ask that you will help us, one and all, to carry out the work that you have called us to as willingly and as faithfully as the angels in heaven for your honor and glory alone. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.